Good morning.
Good morning to all the men.
Also to all of the women.
A very special greeting to the sound engineer in the back, Ben.
To the worship committee and the worship leader for this morning.
We'd also like to extend a warm greeting to our support committee.
To Pastor Laura.
Who else are we forgetting?
The city forester.
The city forester.
We're so pleased all of you are
very
here today.
Very pleased that the city forester is here.
It's a real privilege to share with you all today.
This is exactly how we would have started any kind of formal speaking activity in El Salvador.
In hindsight, it doesn't translate quite as well to this language and context. But yeah. We are very glad that all of you are here this morning.
We really do appreciate, though, being invited to share about how we have experienced resiliency during our recent time working with Mennonite Central Committee. We returned home this past May after spending a year and a half working with MCC in the country of El Salvador.
We've been trying to figure out how to share our experience with all of you in a way that makes sense, but we realize we're still trying to figure out how it makes sense for us. So we'll do our best, and thank you for letting us share our story with you.
So our hope is to provide a little bit of context to our work in El Salvador and also how we experience resiliency through the example of two extraordinary friends.
Luke and I were two of nine volunteers on our MCC team based in Guatemala and El Salvador. For those of you who are unfamiliar with where these countries are located, we have provided a map. We were fortunate enough to speak with some children last week at the MCC relief sale in the children's tent, and when we asked the kids where they thought El Salvador was located, we got a wide variety of answers ranging from Europe to Asia to Brazil. So just in case, we have provided a map. El Salvador is in Central America. It borders Honduras and Guatemala and also the Pacific Ocean. It's affectionately called the Little Thumb of Central America.
So just to give you a little brief context before we talk more about our service, El Salvador is a tropical country, as you can see by this lovely picture. It has a very long coastline. Many people like to go to El Salvador just for this very reason. Surfing is a really popular sport. It is also a country it's the most densely populated country in the Western Hemisphere. It's small, as you can see in the map, compared to the other countries in the region, but it is the most populated country. There are about 6 million people that live in the size of a country, the state of, I believe, Massachusetts. So it's very densely populated, which basically magnifies and brings out some of the social inequity and disparity that we experienced working with MCC. The economy of El Salvador is hugely supported by relatives who live in the United States, especially for people who live in the urban centers of the country. The cost of living, food, and rent is really, really high, and so many people depend on relatives back here in the States to send money. In fact, all of our coworkers that we worked with all had relatives that lived in the States, and that's how pretty much everyone made it to the end of the month, was relying on remittances that came back from the United States. If you can go to the next picture. So it's also, El Salvador is also interesting geographically because there are a lot of volcanoes. The Ring of Fire that comes from Oregon and the Western States on down through Central America runs right through El Salvador. So this is a picture of where we worked. El Salvador has volcanoes that run all the way through the country, and you can see a line of volcanoes right here. It's a very, very beautiful geographic country, like the beaches and the volcanoes, but it has this horrible image of gangs. In fact, it's many people, when they think of El Salvador, I don't know what you're picturing, but I know a lot of people that I've talked to picture these horrible news images that they've seen on the internet of overcrowded jails with nasty men and tattoos all over their face and really horrible images of violence. And while that is true, that is not the whole story. The other image that people associate with El Salvador is Archbishop Romero, who is on my T-shirt and right here on the screen.
I'll just throw in, Luke got some new glasses frames recently. I don't know if you see a resemblance to
But as my shirt indicates, my shirt says San Romero de America, which is Saint Romero of the Americas. He is very much considered to be a saint. The Catholic faith is very strong in El Salvador, and people's connection to Romero, even though he's been assassinated for 30 years now, his connection is very strong in the country.
So in our assignment, we worked with a partner organization called ANADIS, which is an acronym that stands for A New Dawn in El Salvador. It was born out of a Christian-based community in the 1980s that was working for social justice during the Civil War. And like most Latin American countries in the 80s, the Civil War in El Salvador was made more complicated by U.S. presence supporting the right-wing government in the name of fighting communism. The individuals in this Christian-based community, a Catholic community, in a suburb of San Salvador came together to start an orphanage for orphans of the war, which has now grown into the NGO that we worked with. It's no longer an orphanage, but it does have an early childhood center that was supported by the 2% fund at Assembly. You can go to the next picture. It also has, in addition to the Early Childhood Center, a naturopathic health clinic, an organic farm, some guest houses where we stayed for a significant amount of our time, and a community development office. MCC now supports projects through the community development office, and that's where we were placed.
Mm-hmm. Here you can see in the picture, these are our coworkers at ANADIS. The gentleman in the white shirt was the country rep while we were serving with MCC. He's no longer the country rep. In all, there's about 30 employees in the community development office where we worked. We worked with five people. And like Rachel said, ANADIS is located in the capital city of San Salvador. But all of the work in the community development office is in rural areas. ANADIS has a very strong commitment to working with the poorest of the poor. And they have a long tradition of working all over El Salvador in many different regions. Specifically, our work was in San Julian. We worked on a team, like I said, with five other individuals, and we worked in San Julian with Hilma, who is standing right above our country rep. So the quickest way to describe our work was sort of a grab bag of community development projects. We were hired originally as HIV project workers, which is kind of a vague title, but ANADIS has a long history of supporting people with HIV. So that was one of the things that we did, but we didn't know that ANADIS works in the areas of climate change, disaster response, women's rights,
political advocacy.
So it was sort of a grab bag. On Monday, we did activities related to climate change. On Tuesday, we did activities related to disaster mitigation. On Thursday, we did activities. So each day brought a different set of jobs that we were doing. And then on Saturdays, because we couldn't get everything in Monday through Friday, on Saturdays, we often worked with an at-risk youth group. Our job, it took, since we were based in the capital city, we had to travel quite a bit, and we would do all of this work driving about 5 hours or 6 hours a day to and from to get to the communities and then return home to the capital city each night. So,
As Luke said, we often commuted up to 6 hours on bad traffic. So we would start in San Salvador, drive to the rural community of San Julian, which is where our official post was, and there we would lead a range of activities. This is one of the women's groups that we met with. We had six different women's groups where we would talk about gender equality, sexual and reproductive health, access to clean drinking water, a wide variety of activities. A lot of the communities where we worked were, as Luke said, somewhat isolated. I'll have you go to the next slide. This is one more activity with a larger group of women. We sometimes did smaller groups, and sometimes we did larger community outreach events. To get to our locations where we met, we often had to take a Nissan car driving in 4x4. I'll have you go to the next slide. It seemed like the roads we were taking would have been better suited to maybe going like on horseback rather than in a truck. And a good hour of our commute was going short distances up in the mountains on these very, very rocky, sometimes muddy roads.
But through it all, through the long work hours and the sort of crazy schedule that we worked in, we made some incredible relationships, and that's what we're excited to share with you this morning.
So we want to share about two individuals who became very close to us during our time. The first person is Hilma. Hilma was one of our coworkers at Anatis, and she was the person with whom we worked most closely in San Julian. She invited us to spend Christmas with her family at her house, which we did, and we frequently spent weekends at her house as well. When we visited, she and her 8-year-old son would escort us to and from the final bus stop in and out of her gang-controlled neighborhood. She was the first person to make fun of our Spanish, like any real friend would. She is a dedicated soul with a heart for justice. Hilma has worked with Anatis for over 5 years and has formed a strong bond with the women in the community of San Julian. When a 25-year-old community member was arrested after the mother of his 12-year-old girlfriend filed a police report, Hilma advocated for the girl and her mother, who is an active member of our women's groups. Hilma spoke in each community where we worked about children's rights and women's rights and their protections under the law, even when this was common practice. She continued to support this family and speak for justice, even when it became known that the incarcerated male was the brother of a gang member. Only when threats against Hilma were whispered in the communities for her part in locking up the brother did she begin to reconsider her presence and safety in the community. Unfortunately, this incident, along with increasing violence in all of the communities where we worked, led to MCC's concern about having international service workers in our position. When the conversation began about whether Luke and I needed to leave our position, our greatest concern was Hilma. Who would she work with? When Hilma was offered another position within Anatis for her own safety, her question was, who will advocate for the women? Even though we left and returned to the States, Hilma continues to work in San Julian. She's also a single mother, raising a now 9-year-old named after Oscar Romero, who attends a private Catholic school in San Salvador. Oscar rides his bike in the living room because it's not safe to ride outside. Hilma also cares for her aging parents who live with them. Her father, an evangelical, asks her why she doesn't wear skirts more often. Her mother, a devout Catholic, has progressing dementia. Hilma is resilient. She has to be. And she bounces back each day with grace and determination, rooted in faith that things have to get better.
I'd like to talk and share a few stories about my dear friend, well, our dear friend, Juancho. He's the man pictured in the middle with two peace signs. And it's a great illustration of Juancho. He is one of two vigilantes, or security guards, that work at the Anatis offices. Both security guards take turns working a 24-hour shift. The other vigilante, Don Goyo, who's pictured in the far back, also with a very beautiful smile, is also a dear friend. And because Rach and I lived at the Anatis offices most of our time in El Salvador, we got to know them both extremely well. In fact, they became like family. First, I'll never forget Juancho's infectious laugh and smile. As you can see in the picture, I've never heard someone like him laugh like him, not with such joy. It's a loud laugh that sounds like the best joke has always been just told, even if the same joke has been repeated 100 times before. Some jokes were fairly innocent in nature. We joked about Rach and I being lost gringos when we first arrived at Anatis. We joked about all the silly stories from Juancho and Don Goyo's long history working together, and those jokes usually had something to do about homemade corn liquor that Don Goyo liked to drink. We joked about our friend Toby, an ex-MCCer who was quite radical. Juancho would often say, ese Toby es está loco. We also had some regular jokes that were a little bit more pesado or heavy. For instance, a popular one for a while was about the international restaurant chain Hooters, or Hooters in Spanish. You see, Hooters left El Salvador due to the increased violence, and we thought that was pretty funny. We also got a lot of mileage out of the joke that the Peace Corps had to leave El Salvador because they had made too much peace, and they had to go on to a more dangerous, violent country, likely Iraq. Interestingly, a joke could be made out of a simple mugging or a run-in with gangsters on a bus. For instance, one story that sticks out is this past Christmas, Juancho went to the tienda around the corner from Anares, and there's always, at this tienda, there's a bench out front, and there's always a group of bolos, or drunks, sitting on the bench drinking beer. And this one particular night when Juancho went, there was a gentleman there connected with the local gang in the neighborhood, and this man, not knowing who Juancho was, wanted to intimidate him and said, hey, buy me a beer. And Juancho said, sure, not a problem. And Juancho, in typical fashion, came up with a harmless joke about how the man looked kind of in rough shape. And the man was sort of startled by this comment and said, yeah, it's been a rough month. And Juancho, in his typical Salvadorian slang, said, oh, man, it's Christmas time. You can't be in rough shape during Christmas. He said, no hay que estar jodido during Christmas, which is how you would say it in Spanish. And Juancho knew that this guy had sent his son to, many years before, had sent his son to the daycare. And so then quickly afterwards, Juancho said, and how's your son doing, by the way? And the man, again, taken aback, was trying to place who Juancho was and how he knew him, and how he felt so comfortable making this kind of joke with him after he was clearly an intimidating person. While this may sound like an innocent run-in with a stranger at a convenience store, those types of interactions can often mean life or death, especially for teenage males. Mostly, though, Juancho joked about being, quote-unquote, indisciplinado, or undisciplined. He loved to talk about how, since he worked odd hours, he could sleep whenever he needed to or eat whenever he wanted. And Rach and I, on the other hand, were very disciplined, and I told him that was because I was always hungry. So he also claimed that he wasn't a serious person. He would often say, no soy serio. But I debated with that quite a bit. For as much as we laughed together, we would also stay up late talking politics, current events, or digesting the heavy reality of living and working in the face of such horrible injustice. He loved to debate and was very well read. He watched news and read the news late on his phone late as he finished his shifts. What made Juancho so special to me was more than these laughs or the late-night debates. It was his incredible openness to all people. It didn't matter if you were a pair of gringos, like Rachel and I, from a privileged background in the States, or at-risk youth living in a tough neighborhood, or the 4 or 5-year-old kids that he would greet warmly every morning. Juancho had a way of connecting with everyone in a genuine, loving way. He cared for people, and he cared deeply for us. I wonder where the strength comes from, where his love comes from, living amidst such terrible violence.
So throughout our time in El Salvador, social violence grew steadily. It moved from just an urban problem set in the cities to a rural problem, which was where our work was carried out. We tried twice to live in San Julian, the community where we were working, to cut out that two-hour commute to and from every day. But after two failed attempts of living in neighborhoods that ended up being unsafe due to gang activity, we started the painful, though mutual, conversation with MCC about whether or not we could finish our term. And finally decided with our country directors and our area directors that it was time for us to leave our dear and resilient friends behind. As we continue to adjust to life back in Goshen, we do appreciate hot showers and the convenience of having a car and going out after dark without fear. We try to balance what we've learned about living simply, about working for justice, and being rooted in conviction. Some days are easy, and some days we feel completely lost. I think that's part of the journey. Thank you for letting us share our story with you.